This podcast is made possible by thousands of dedicated listeners just like you. Be a part of this powerful three-decade legacy of evangelization by visiting materdeiradio.com or downloading the Hail Mary media app. And thank you for joining us on the bridge between your faith and everyday life.
Bringing you a common sense and fresh perspective to creating a just society. This is Common Sense on Social Justice. You'll get equipped with the tools you need to carry out social justice right where you are. Now, here's the host of Common Sense on Social Justice, Michael Davis.
Thank you so much for joining us again today. I am glad you are here as we talk about creating a just world right where you are. I hope that you love and are happy with where you are. I live in Portland, Oregon. Absolutely love living here. I love all of the things the city of Portland has to offer and state of Oregon as well. When I visit other cities, I was in Bend a couple weekends ago. Beautiful city in Central Oregon. Spending some time in Madras as well. Beautiful desert city. In Oregon and others, you know, I feel blessed to be where God has planted me, and I hope you feel blessed where God has planted you as well, because where you are planted is where God expects you to grow, and again, to build that just society right where you're at. Well, today's a special day if you're Catholic. It's the Feast of the Assumption of Mary. Now, if you're not Catholic, or if you are and you've kind of waned a little bit in your relationship to Mary, I want to just take some time and talk about her. It's not the subject of today's episode. We're going to talk about dealing with starvation around the world, but we'll get to that in a little bit. I, for many years, was a Protestant pastor, so I didn't have any concept of who Mary was. Just kind of knew she was mentioned in the Bible and just kind of had a fleeting understanding that she had given birth to Jesus. However, as my spiritual director often reminds me, that when God sent his only son into the world, he did not rent a womb. Rather, he purposely created Mary for the purpose of giving birth to his son in human form. Why is Mary important? Specifically because she is a major factor in God's plan of salvation. Without Mary, there's no Jesus. Without Jesus, there's no salvation. So Mary plays a very important role. I've learned that over the past few years. Keep in mind that you cannot separate children from their parents, their mothers. You can physically separate them, their bodies from them, but you cannot separate the DNA. And that's what I want to get to in this brief mention of Mary, is that you cannot separate Jesus from Mary because Jesus has Mary's DNA in him. And this may offend you if you're not a Catholic, but it's the truth. It's not just the spiritual truth, it's the scientific truth that when Jesus shed his blood on the cross for our sins, Mary's DNA was in that blood. In fact, if you want to know what Jesus looked like, since he did not have a human physical father, then Jesus probably looked like a male version of Mary, very identical, since it was her DNA that he had in him. And so today the church honors Mary and her assumption into heaven, where the teaching, and there's lots of proof for this, that Mary at the moment of her death was carried both body and soul into heaven. That's what the assumption of Mary. And Catholics stop today in Mass, special Masses today. I went at 8 o'clock this morning, and a very special time to stop and reflect on the importance of Mary's role in salvation, that God used her in a mighty way to give birth to the Savior. So again, without Mary, there's no Jesus. So it does set her apart, does make her special in that way. And then even the Protestant reformers had a devotion to Mary. They did not kick her out. Just over time, the Protestants began to remove her from the picture, which is sad. Should not be. Again, Catholics do not worship Mary. We worship God alone, for only God is worthy of worship. But we also, but worship is a broad term, by the way. We always think of bow down and worship, but it, to worship means to give worth to something. So if you're giving worth to something, you're worshiping it. But obviously, God is the one who is worthy of our highest praise and worship. We also, as Catholics, do not pray to Mary. We don't pray to the saints. We pray to God alone. But Mary and the saints pray perfectly. James says that the prayers of a righteous person is powerful and effective, and yet the scripture says there is no one who is righteous. No, not one. And so, but we know that the saints and Mary, who are in heaven, are righteous. They have reached the state of perfection, and so their prayers are perfect. So as Catholics, we ask for their prayers and intercessions, knowing that their prayers are powerful and effective. Now, I also ask my neighbor, my friends, to pray for me. I ask people at my local parish to pray for me, but their prayers are not perfect. Just as mine are not perfect because they're still tainted by our present condition. But the saints and Mary, we ask them to pray for us. Why? Because their prayers are powerful and effective, as James says. So, yeah, just a brief moment to stop and reflect on Mary's role in it all and in your work of social justice and your work of creating a just society where you are. Do not be afraid to ask for Mary's help, because Mary will always point you to her son and enlist the help of her son, who is divine, who is the God who created all that is, as Paul talks about in Colossians. Mary always points you to Jesus. And the priest today in Mass was reminding us that with the Jesus' first miracle, public miracle, the turning of water into wine, Jesus was reluctant to do it, but the moment that Mary told him, do what they say, Jesus sprung into action. And if you desperately need something, it's best to ask Mary, please help me, and she will go enlist the help of her son. Of course, at the same time, if she knows that God will get glory out of it, because that's what Mary is all about, giving God the greater glory. So I encourage you with those words. Okay, let's get to today's episode. I'm talking about how to deal with salvation around the world. Or not salvation, starvation, rather. How to deal with starvation. Wouldn't that be awesome if I was doing an episode of, wow, there's so much salvation, redemption, and healing going on around the world that I'm just going to tell you how to deal with it, because it can be overwhelming to see how perfect our world's going. Yeah, I wish that were the case, but it's not. The fact is, because our world is broken, there's mass starvation around the world. In fact, now more than ever, but for different reasons than it has been in the past. Why am I dealing with this? I'm dealing with this because ongoing decades of starvation in places like Kenya and Sudan and different places is still going on. However, we have a new type of starvation that's happening, unfortunately, in Gaza that we're seeing and making the news. And I thought, well, we need to talk about this. Now, you may think, and I'm doing another episode next week about the sins of war, talking about the sins of war, talking about today dealing with the starvation around the world, you're going to think, well, how does that work in my neighborhood? And that's a good question. I'll try to answer that today. Now, what if I were to tell you that I had something special for you to do and that your life depends on it? Let's say the project was to play football all by yourself against the Philadelphia Eagles, who had won the Super Bowl. Their whole team and all their pads and equipment against you. Do you think you might be a little overwhelmed and scared at the thought? Well, it can feel that way too when you, and even much more when we consider how to confront the reality that people are starving to death all around the world due to famine, lack of rain for decades, deforestation, and war. It can seem like you alone are playing against the Philadelphia Eagles and trying to, probably not even trying to win a game, trying to not get killed. But let's look at how we can deal with this crisis in our world. Statistics show that almost all famine today is man-made. In the 20th century, through medical advances and more crop yields and better conditions, natural famine was nearly eradicated, while at the same time, man-made famine has now set historical records. So we don't have famine due to natural things so much as man-made things. So we're going to take a look at that as we look into some of the causes. What causes famine? Especially today compared to the past. We would see like the potato famine and in Ireland and various famines. You know, we see famines in the Bible that occurred during the time of Joseph and various times. But today in the 21st century, when famines are at historical levels, what's causing it? Well, one is war. War is a major cause, which, by the way, is brought about this episode today, because the war between Israel and Iran, between Hamas and Israel, has caused starvation in the Gaza Strip. A million people with food supplies cut off due to war. People like in Gaza are used as pawns in war. In fact, that's what's happening. Who's using them as pawns? Who knows, right? Because Iran is saying Israel's using the people of Gaza as pawns. Israel's saying that Hamas is using them as pawns. I'm not going to say what I think is the truth of that situation. What I'm going to say is whoever's using the people of Gaza as pawns is needs to repent. Okay, these are people in Gaza are human brothers and sisters. They are made in the image of God, just like we are. They, because of that, they are worthy of dignity and respect. And whoever is using the people of Gaza's pawns and cutting off their food supplies and causing the starvation of people for the purpose of war, that is a very grave sin. And war causes this. World War II, the mass starvation of the Jews in Germany and Poland. And by the way, it was kind of an interesting tactic that Russia in World War II used starvation as a tactic against Germany, because the German troops marched up to invade Russia, and Russia simply surrounded the German soldiers and starved them and caused them to almost freeze to death. And so they turned around and went back to Germany. But yeah, starvation is often not just an outfall or an outcome of war, but starvation is often a tool used in war. In wars, neighborhoods are destroyed, jobs are lost due to the bombs. I unfortunately met a woman and her son this week who escaped Gaza, and she had her leg blown off. He had his arm blown off by the same bomb. You know, I remember after the U.S. bombed Iraq a few years ago, seeing a woman on the news crying, and her neighborhood was just in rubble. She was crying, saying, as her neighborhood had been flattened, "What did I do to anybody to deserve this?" Now, during the Vietnam War, you see fields getting bombed, and so those crops are lost. Food is lost. And by the way, it is the innocent who suffer in war. Not the politicians. The politicians And the people who own the factories that make war machines and ammunition, they get richer by war. I mean, I'm just going to call out a company in my hometown of Portland. I won't name the company, but there is a major factory in Portland that makes equipment for war machinery. So whenever there's a war, the leadership of that company gets richer. In fact, the CEO of that company, who lives in one of the suburbs, Portland, I was talking to one of his neighbors one day, and he said, you know, my neighbor, you know, he's the CEO of this company, and he sold his house for $13 million so he could get a bigger house. I thought, that's pathetic. That's not just sad, that's pathetic, because this man is getting rich and living the high life by people dying, innocent people dying in war. Shame on him. And shame on that company. I would normally name the companies, but I'm not in the mood to do that today. But, yeah. Yeah. Email me. Give me your thoughts on this. You'll hear the email at the end of this episode. But there are people getting insanely wealthy off the war. You know, I can't... Forgive me if I'm wrong on this, but I have struggled over the past few years during this war between Russia and Gaza to think, are the U.S., the people at the top of the U.S. government, Zelensky and Putin, are they instigating this war to enrich themselves? I don't know. What do you think? And at this point, it's just a conspiracy theory because I can't prove it, but I can't shake that feeling. You know, like Rio Speedwagon says, I can't stop this feeling anymore, you know? So, yeah, can't fight this feeling anymore. But whatever you think, you know, people do get rich off of war. And it is historically known that some leaders promote ongoing war in order to keep themselves rich. Now, Michael Moore, who's the guy who makes documentaries, whatever you may think of him, I've got my, I go back and forth on him. Some things Michael Moore says I like, some things I'm like just an eye roll or whatever. But whatever you may think of Michael Moore, I like how once he had a microphone and camera and went to the steps of the Capitol in Washington, D.C. and questioned senators during the war in Iraq as they came out and asked them if their sons were going to be sent to Iraq, and all of them said, no, my sons aren't being sent to Iraq. And Michael Moore said, well, our sons are being sent to Iraq. But see, that's telling of what's really going on behind wars. And the one very sad reality of war is that it causes mass starvation. Right now in Gaza, food supplies are being cut off as the people of Gaza are used as pawns, and God will not tolerate this forever. He just won't. Another cause of famine, or mass starvation, is deforestation. I do work among the poor in Kenya, and, you know, the Kenya was ruled by the British for a very long time. And in northern Kenya, by the Ethiopian border, the British greatly deforested that area. And for, I think, 60 years, something like that, that there hasn't been rain up in Turkana County, Kenya. Mass starvation. I've got pictures on my phone of children laying in the streets looking like a skeleton, little children of adults who look like a skeleton because of the deforestation of northern Kenya by the British. And of course, the Kenyan government's failure to do anything about it. When you deforest it, the rain stopped. You know, I think of Israel, you know, and I'll talk more about this in a little bit, but, you know, you can restart the rain cycles by planting trees. It's been proven. I'll talk about this later, or and how we can do that in the solutions part of this episode. But deforestation, famine. Now, I'm differentiating as a cause of mass starvation. Now, I'm differentiating here between the general word famine and starvation, because starvation is famine. I'm talking about the general sweeping term where rain stops, supplies are cut off, those kinds of general things. And famine is caused from various sources, such as I just mentioned, deforestation, bad politicians, tyranny. You got Idi Amin in Sudan, you know, causing crazy things like that. The tyranny of the Kenyan government, again, causing famine in northern Kenya, lack of democracy, conflict, fallout of colonialism, and so on. And then finally, greed. Greed is a cause of famine. Wealthy nations not sharing with poorer nations. Wealthy nations, or the wealthy within a first world nation, not sharing with their own. You see? So what are the cures? We've got mass starvation. We see it on the news every day. We're seeing the terrible situation in Gaza. How do we deal with it? And what does that mean for my neighborhood? Well, first of all, we got to do it through teamwork. We got to have teamwork. Now, to finish my analogy from you alone playing the Philadelphia Eagles, trying not to get killed, to finish that analogy, suppose now that I see that you cannot handle this project of playing by yourself against the Philadelphia Eagles, I tell you that you can now bring all the other teams in the NFL to support you against the Eagles. So now it's you and every team in the NFL playing against Philadelphia Eagles. Do you think that your chances are just a little bit better? I mean, you're going to crush them, right? Well, a global problem like mass starvation requires a global response. So first we have to identify why the famine is happening to deal with it. Is it because of war, weather, bad policies, tyranny? What is it? And it's going to take your neighborhood networking with other neighborhoods to make this thing happen. I kind of want to get away from the model of us giving all of our money to nonprofits so they can go deal with the mass starvation. I think it would be better to see mass networks of neighbors going to help with the problem, with maybe the nonprofits and their experts helping guide the neighborhoods into that, the network of neighborhoods. So teamwork. It's going to take a lot of teamwork. It's going to take planting forests, if that's the problem. So deforestation in Tanzania, which has drought issues because of deforestation, there was a group of nuns who planted a forest at their convent. And guess what? It only rains at their convent. Pretty wild. Israel got greatly deforested over the years. The rain cycle stopped. And then when the Jews began resettling the land of Israel, they were required upon entrance to the land to plant a tree. And now the rain cycles are restarted again. And so Kenya, those places, if we could just get the resources together and plant forest up in Turkana County, we would see the rain cycles, because trees draw rain from the oceans. I mean, one of the reasons why it rains so much in Oregon is because we have billions of trees. And those trees pull the water off the Pacific Ocean. You say, well, isn't Oregon right next to the Pacific Ocean? Yeah, but so is Southern California. It doesn't rain there. There's a place in Chile on the Pacific Ocean, and the country of Chile on the Pacific Ocean, South America, that it hasn't rained for decades. And there's like cactus growing on the beach. And the ocean's right there. But there's no trees to draw the water off the ocean. It all works together in a beautiful system. The British deforested northern Kenya, and they've had decades of famine. I've told you about the pictures on my phone. So we've got to do lots of teamwork to tackle this problem. You're going to have to get aggressive in getting your neighborhood organized to help with starvation, network with other neighborhoods, network with nonprofits, and together get this problem tackled, because I cannot imagine while our brothers and sisters go through years without eating. How horrible. We cannot silently stand by while that continues to happen, planting forests. Third way to tackle this problem is rooting out the fallout of colonialism and the tribalism that ensued. So this includes, the British are gone, right? They went back to their island, but this includes the rooting out of the tyrants that took root after colonialism was defeated. So after the British and the French were booted out of Africa, then it created a leadership vacuum. And what happened is tyrants filled that space. So basically in Kenya, you have two tribes that have taken over the country and they won't allow any government leadership from any of the other tribes. In fact, I know that when certain tribes start to rise up and cause problems, the government shuts off their water supplies to get them back in line. So you have to, it's not enough. Okay, British and French are gone. Great. Got to get the tyrants out too and get democracy back in place in the African nations. And I'm just, this is in other nations as well, in other continents, but still, it especially holds true in Africa. In fact, last time I was in Kenya, they had said, I remember on the news, native Kenyans saying that they would prefer the British leadership today over what they have now. So yeah, it's not a good situation. So getting those tyrants rooted out and the fallout of colonialism. And then finally, ending war now. Enough to the madness of war. I mean, again, look what's happening in Gaza. Look what's happening in Ukraine. I work with Ukrainian refugees here, and it's terrible what's being suffered over there. And there's other wars going on, not just those two. Those are the ones that keep making news. There's wars all over the world. And look at the wars and the starvation and madness that ensues. Yeah, talk to your representatives. Blow up the phone of your representatives and demand stop these wars now. Now, there are many sins to war, so this is kind of connected to the next episode. So join us next week as I talk in depth about the sins that are committed in war. We'll talk about that next episode. I don't want to get into it now, but remember the call of Christ. In Matthew 25, Jesus says, "You fed me." And both the goats on the left and the sheep on the right are going to say, "When did we feed you?" And Jesus says, "Whenever you did it to the least of me, you did it to my brothers," or "whenever you failed to feed the least of these, you failed to feed me." We are called by Christ to feed the hungry. Not just with a small meal, but by getting to the root of the problem that's causing the hunger. Live Aid is being talked about a lot recently, especially with the release on CNN of a docuseries about Live Aid. And Live Aid dealt with the tragic famine in Ethiopia in the 1980s. And today we have a new famine going on due to ongoing wars. We must confront this for the sake of our beloved brothers and sisters around the world. We talk much of the neighborhood as the central place of social justice. And I encourage you to develop a critical mass of neighborhoods. Maybe get a leader in your neighborhood and help other neighborhoods get leaders and let those leaders network the neighborhoods together. Develop that critical mass of neighborhoods. Start with your neighborhood, network with the others, and help volunteer, donate, or in some way deal with the starvation of brothers and sisters around the world as we create a just society right where we are.
You've been listening to Common Sense on Social Justice with your host, Michael Davis. A common sense and fresh perspective to creating justice where you are. Share your comments and questions with Michael by emailing sjcommonsense@gmail.com. That's sjcommonsense@gmail.com.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider sharing it with a friend. You can support this vital mission of evangelization through materdayradio.com or the Hail Mary Media app. And thank you for helping us lead souls to Jesus through the Blessed Virgin Mary.